Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast, proudly sponsored by your friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. The next time you're looking at heading down to Walt Disney World, out to Disneyland, or sailing on one of the beautiful ships on the Disney Cruise Line, work with one of the great agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Those agents are going to have the expertise to put you in just the right package to get you all that magic that you deserve, as well as save you as much money as possible. Also, you're going to get lots of extra goodies with many qualifying packages just by working with a great agent over at the Magic for Less. Don't forget, their agency charges no fees to you, so this service is absolutely free to you. So check them out over at www.themagicforless.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 350 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, and happy Friday, and we are finally back and so glad to be talking with you here on a Friday. So let's get the show started and have some fun talking Disney Dream. Joining me today here on a Friday, and did I say it's Friday? It's Friday. Come on, everybody, it's Friday. So have fun. That's right. We have Ricky. Ricky from AdisneyWorldAfterAll.com. What's up, Ricky?
Oh my God, I'm so glad to be back. Like I can't believe, I know. Well, not like
no, you're not.
I would rather be on a cruise, but I mean, I'm so glad to be back podcasting with you guys and everything, because I've totally missed you guys. And so I'm excited to be back in that regard, but not to be back in the country.
Absolutely. You know, it's been fun communicating over Twitter and on the forums, on Facebook and all that since we've returned from the big trip down to Walt Disney World and on the Disney Cruise Line. But it's great to be podcasting again, because we love doing this. We love your response to the shows. And Ricky, I mean, we were kind of talking about this before we got started, that it is kind of tough. Nobody's bringing us dinner anymore. We don't get to have dinner with 80 or 90 friends.
I know, that part is kind of stinky, especially because I'm the one who has to cook dinner, or I have to figure out what I'm going to go get for dinner, meaning, you know, what restaurant am I going to tonight? So
absolutely. What am I getting for McDonald's this evening?
Exactly. Except for not so much McDonald's for me, but, you know.
Yeah, that's true. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What's going on, Pam? The Pirates are in second place, right behind the Cards. I just got to say that.
I know it. I said, you know, it's like there's some kind of rip in the space-time continuum that, like, let the Pirates and the Cards, you know, be right there. So some kind of weirdness. But yeah, I feel the same way as Ricky. I mean, it's so, I will tell you, I'm kind of like in the background, like building up to a Disney depression, because it was so nice
yes.
to like see everybody every day, to just be like walk out and like see people you knew all the time and be able to have dinner with people you knew and hang out with people you knew. And now it's like, how come y'all don't live here where I am? So like we can still do that every day.
I totally agree. And it was so different than, you know, even like Mouse Fest when it happened, or Epic October, where you're running from, you know, event to event to, you know, to kind of see like members of this community, members of that community, because, you know, we all, you know, listen to different podcasts. We have like kind of our core group, but everybody, you know, some people are huge into food, so they're into AJ stuff, so they're going to her event, you know, down at Epic October and stuff. But, you know, on the ship, it was so different. This is the first time that I got to do something like this on a cruise, where you didn't even, a lot of the best meets for me, and we'll get into like the parts of the cruise, but some of the best times for me were just kind of sitting up on deck 11 at a table. I grabbed an ice cream cone, you know, you'd strike up a conversation with a couple folks. And then before you know it, there's like 25 people sitting
yes.
around like four or five tables, and you're having a great evening. And it was totally impromptu. Nobody had anything scheduled. And I think that was the beauty of the cruise. So Ricky, that happened for you a lot too?
Yeah, you know, it did. I would, you know, just run into people. That was, to me, was one of my favorite part about the cruise, is just being able to run into people. Like, you'd get off the elevator and bam, right there was somebody that you knew. I mean, you know, that was one of the, and there's a picture going around on Facebook of probably 10 of us crammed into an elevator, at least 10 of us crammed into an elevator. And, you know, so it's just, it's things like that, that we're just so much fun. It's just the random things where you just ran into each other and went like, hey, let's go hang out. Let's go do this. Let's do that. You know, so that really was the best part.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just friends everywhere. You didn't have to have anything scheduled. You just got to just run into folks, like you said, and have a great time. So let's kind of go through the trip sequentially. And I'll start off with, you know, we had our Walt Disney World vacation and it was a lot of fun. And I'm going to talk, you know, in a future show about the Disney World part of it, because I got to do the Marceline to the Magic Kingdom tour, which was a lot of fun. Recommend awesome. That for people. You know, a lot of cool stuff happened down there. You know, one bad thing, you know, I think I almost got heat stroke where I got wheeled out of the Magic Kingdom the night before the cruise. Got to meet
that
Lou Mangello.
Yeah, me, but,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. And I got to meet Lou, you know, in a wheelchair with my wife pushing me out because I was dying of exhaustion. But anyway, so the cool thing about the cruise was, you know, we drove over from Caribbean Beach over to the port, and you know, it's kind of hectic that last day when you're leaving Walt Disney World, which is, it's always that terrible day when that's all you're doing, like our normal yearly vacations, is that, oh, the trip is over, it's so sad, we got to drive home. Well, you know, it's kind of sad leaving Walt Disney World, but knowing you're going on a cruise, I can tell you, it makes it much better. It was like, okay, it's probably going to even get better at this point. So, you know, that morning, we had a really rough morning, though, because my mom, my sister, and her husband were down at Walt Disney World with us the last few days of our vacation. And they're first timers for Walt Disney World. So we went way too hard, tried to show them way too much. And I think everybody who was down there before the cruise is going to agree that it was like stifling hot. Like, I know that it's hot in the summer down at Walt Disney World, but that last night at the Magic Kingdom, it felt like it was like no airflow.
Seriously.
It was brutal hot.
Terrible. Like, it was like literally, like, I felt like I was in an oven. That's how hot it was.
And it's been hot here in St. Louis. I mean, we've had, you know, yesterday the high was 102, and I mean, it still felt similar down there. And I know the temperatures weren't as high, but it was just really bad. So, you know, we were kind of worn down. Well, that morning we're packing up, and Mallory is really crying because she has to leave her little cousin Mason, who was, you know, going around Walt Disney World with her for 4 days. She's screaming, crying because she's not going to see Mason for a little while. We're trying to get a picture of the family. You know, we're in our matching shirts, you know, because we're going to go over to the port with our Disney Dream shirts. And we hand the camera to my sister. The camera falls on the ground, breaks. Aww. So now, you know, this is the camera that Paige had bought for Pam with her own money. So now Paige is all upset because her camera that she got her mom doesn't work anymore. We were totally stressed out driving over because, you know, and Mallory had gotten some kind of a bug. We're calling the doctor, trying to get a refill on a prescription. The doctor's in surgery, can't call us back till 2 o'clock that afternoon. Of course, we're going to be on the ship at that time and can't fill the prescription. So lots of stress happening the morning that we're driving over to Port Canaveral. But then it's funny how Disney does these things. I don't know how it happened. And Pam, I don't know if you had something to do with this. I know you said you didn't, but we were somehow, and this is, I mean, total stress balls, especially me. I was freaked out, stressed out, because, you know, I wanted everything to go perfect for all of our friends that were sailing with us, and like 18 things had gone wrong for my family, you know, like that morning already. I'm like, oh, what else can happen? You know, oh, also, I see Laurie Ann's family driving over to the port. They have a flat tire on the 528 going across, and I didn't even notice because I was messing with my phone on the way, but Pam said, isn't that Laurie Ann and her family? And so I called, and sure enough, it was. And, you know, I've never changed a tire, but I offered to turn around with the trailer and help learn how to change a tire, but they had somebody coming, so they were fine, thank goodness. But it was like, you know, I was thinking, oh, this is not off to a great start right now. So anyway, we get to the port, and it's wonderful. The Port Canaveral Disney Cruise Line Terminal is beautiful. We get chosen as family of the day somehow,
so
you know,
awesome.
Because I guess because we had these matching shirts on or something. I don't know, but I just want to get on the ship because I was so stressed. But somehow we got chosen for family of the day. And this cast member just happened to talk to my wife while I was checking us in over at the, you know, the stand there. And she ended up being from St. Louis, actually, from right around where Ricky and I are from. But she didn't know this when she picked us. Very nice lady. You know, we got to go on the ship first. We were the first ones on, got to you know, get to get into the kids club and check that out first and get to do a lot of things first. So that really kind of took that morning of it's stressful, things are going wrong, and turned it into a positive right off the bat. Like, we got announced onto the ship. We got our picture. You guys saw that under the big Mickey ears as you kind of go through the gangway. Very, very cool. And it really set the tone for the rest of the cruise. So that's kind of my thing that I remember as far as getting on the ship, that it turned a 180 really quickly. And it's funny how Disney can do something like that. And I'm telling you, we needed it that morning. I mean, I didn't tell anybody about all this because I didn't want to bring anybody down on the cruise. But I'm just telling you, we needed a little magic that morning, and we got it somehow. I don't know how it happened, but it did. So that's how our family started the cruise off. So, Pam, what were your thoughts as far as, you know, boarding the ship, getting all that stuff taken care of?
You know, I will say that I am not a person who typically, I will not say I don't stress. I try to take every step I can leading up to event to make sure I have all my bases covered. I've checked, I've double checked, whatever. And that's why I don't stress, because I've done all these, the prep leading up to it. And planning for this group, not that dealing with any of our guests was challenging, because nobody was. I mean, everyone was absolutely so fantastic to work with in the capacity that I got the opportunity to do that. But dealing with Disney Cruise Line was really a constant stressor for me from about 6 months ago until now, just because they don't see any need to confirm details and to... I don't know. I hate to show this other side of Disney in some ways, but I mean, I've talked to other travel agency owners who are, you know, also my friends, and we've chatted about this issue, and this is par for the course with Disney Cruise Line and planning, you know, events like this. And I just wanted to make sure that everything worked well for everybody, that we were all in the same dining rotation and the same part of the dining room, and that we had these spaces so that we could get together as a group just a few times, you know, throughout the cruise. We had these things planned. So really going into that, I just was feeling like, oh my gosh, please, please, please just let everything work out the way that I want it to. And once I saw that everything was going to work out, I was okay, but I was just feeling it a little, you know, that morning. And of course, once you're there at the port is stunning itself. The terminal, the Disney Cruise Line terminal, I think is really just a beautiful cruise terminal, with the Disney touches and the Disney characters and the opportunities for, you know, things like that. Who else but Disney can do that? And then to go out there and get, you know, your glimpses of the dream. You see what a beautiful ship is. You know, you walk through those Mickey ears, they announce your name. And you're in the atrium of the Disney Dream, and all that kind of melts away at that point because you're there, you know, good or bad, it's all going to go the way it goes. And it's just so nice to get on that ship.
It is. I mean, because you know, you finally arrived, and there's some kind of, you know, like, it's like flipping a switch when you go on a cruise, that once you cross that gangway and you're on the ship, you know that that's where you have to stay. And that's, you know, your vacation has now started. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing that, again, I was wanting this to be perfect for everybody. I wasn't worried about my family of four. I was more worried about my family of like 100. And that's why I was so stressed, because exactly. I knew that, you know, everybody wanted to sail with us. And I was so humbled and honored and wanted it to be better for everybody else, even than it would be for me, because I was just so excited. And that's why I was so nervous with this, like feeling in the pit of my stomach. But once I saw how beautiful the ship was, like you said, when you're in the atrium, you're just like, your jaw drops. I mean, because the magic and the wonder are gorgeous, but this one's better. I mean, I hate to tell you, but the arrival into the atrium is even better, just because, you know, it's 10 years later and they've learned from those ships. What is great? Okay, this is what Disney does great. You know, what is really good about this ship? Okay, now how can we blow that out of the water? You know, so that was a lot of fun. I did, you know, one thing to learn from this one is I was carrying on a whole too much, you know, because I wanted to have my swim trunks because I was going for the aqueduct, but I was carrying like everything. We forgot to check our toiletries bag. That thing weighed about 90 pounds. It was pulling my shoulder out of the socket, carrying that thing around. I mean, I was carrying around too much, but, you know, other than that, you know, next time I'll learn, check almost everything. So Ricky, what were your initial thoughts? You know, maybe crossing that hill, seeing the ship, all that stuff.
Well, I actually came by a little different. I have a relative that lives in Florida, and she thankfully volunteered to take us. So we met her at her house, and she has a beautiful house and everything. Of course, it's Florida, and it's a typical Florida house, and it's gorgeous. But anyway, so she lives, you know, about 30 minutes away. I'm pretty sure it's in Melbourne. Don't quote me on that.
Yep, that's just anyway, south. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, good. So so she drove us over, and so, you know, she was talking to us all about kind of cruising and stuff like that, because she's been on cruises before. And then all of a sudden I see the ship coming over the hill, and I'm just like, that's my ship. You know, I thankfully, I guess I was the one who didn't get the stress in out of the three of us, because I was just I felt no stress whatsoever. I was just like, look, there's my ship, you know, and so checking in was a breeze. We had a great time and ended up finding some other people who we were cruising with, and so we all ended up getting on together because they had a number that was higher than my number, or lower, I guess I should say, than my number. So we all kind of crammed in together, about 20 of us or more.
I heard about that.
So I'm sure Disney Cruise Line loved this big family, but anyway, so that was awesome, and so we got on, you know, we boarded the ship, and I had them, since Brian and I have different last names, I had them announce Brian's last name. I figured it would mean more to him. So, since he is the guy and everything. But we walked over, and you're right, Mike, just my first impressions of the ship were just like, holy cow. You know, this is just beyond everything that I ever imagined it would be. And I was so worried that I would never figure out where anything was, because you're just totally entranced by everything that you see. And you're just like, I am never going to learn any of it. But no, I did. I thankfully, we learned the ship very well. And the only thing I stressed out about was finding out where you two were, because we hadn't talked at all.
That was a challenge.
And I had no idea where you guys were.
You know, I hate to tell you this, but I really didn't care for a little while. I was like on the ship, and I was just like in this like zen area. You know, I was like, I don't really care. I'll find them at some point. The ship's
That's
only so big that I'm so happy.
Like, yeah, I'll find them.
Exactly. I knew our paths would cross. And that's one thing, like the wave phones are a way to communicate on the ship, but you know, they're not the greatest thing in the world. Oh. They're okay, but when you're traveling in a group of like 90, they're kind of impractical, because you have to know what stateroom everybody's in and which phone they may have or not have. So, you know, I know people have heard a lot about the wave phones. They're good. I mean, I could see where they'd be great for a family trying to keep in touch.
But yes, with a family of like,
yes,
you know,
not like our size group.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, yeah. So, I mean, I think we all had kind of the same thoughts there. Now, let's move on to kind of you get on the ship, you have usually between 6 hours and, you know, maybe 4 hours, depending on what time you get on, until you get to the muster drill, the safety drill, and then sail away. So, Pam, your thoughts kind of on that time before, you know, we actually set sail, because I really want to talk about the sail away. But things, what happens in between, you know, you get on the ship and then sail away happens with the safety drill?
It really, I mean, of course you get to get on and immediately go eat, because, you know, yes, you don't want to miss a second,
yes,
of eating opportunity.
No, you do not.
So you do that. And it was really a nice lunch. We actually had ours in the Enchanted Garden. I know that some went up to Cabanas. And it was not, you know, really a nice time. And then typically, you know, you have a little bit of time to maybe explore the ship, and then it's after one and your room's going to be ready. Your stateroom.
The room won't dry.
It really is. So then you get to go into your room, and you get your first glimpses of the state.
That's my first drop I've ever made.
Oh, your first rope drop for your room. Nice.
And it is. And I think that's really one of the more exciting parts of the cruise, because you kind of get to see, you know, it's kind of like walking into the atrium, but in a different way. This is going to be your space for the next few days, and you get to check it out if you, you know, have all the little doodads and whatever, try to figure everything out. And I think that's a cool part of the trip. And then your luggage is typically delivered, and you get to unpack a little bit and then have a little more time to check out the ship. But then you're right, Mike, it's time for the sail away party.
Absolutely. And let me just mention, you know, we went straight to Enchanted Garden as well. We were escorted in there. First ones in, there were about 30 servers, you know, all decked out in their white jackets and, you know, just welcoming us in. It was so cool. I mean, it was, you know, because all the servers are there, just like when you arrive into the atrium of the ship. But I just want to share this story that, you know, I know a lot of us like cruising now. And I know some new cruisers have already been bitten by the bug, because we've been talking about their next cruise already, which is awesome, because I'm doing the same thing. I've already booked for next summer. But, you know, one of the things, I was going through the buffet for lunch. The guy in front of me was talking with the servers. This was his fifth consecutive cruise on the Dream.
Wow.
The one we were on. So he'd been on for four previous cruises, stayed on for ours. Now, this was his last one. But he was on the ship for, I think, 23 consecutive days. I thought that was really interesting.
Wow.
So he was making it like a second home. But, yeah, I was like, wow. I didn't say, you know, I wanted to, like, talk to him about it, but I didn't want to getting his, you know, lunch and all that, because I knew he was eating and he was there with his significant other. So, yeah, pretty interesting, though, that some people, you know, I've heard of back-to-back cruises because that's always intrigued me. But, you know, five in a row, that's living it up, man. That's like the golden ticket. But anyway, so, Ricky, what'd you guys do before the safety drill?
Well, we actually, like I said, we met up with a bunch of people who helped get us in. And so all of us went and we had lunch at the Enchanted Garden. And it was a really good time. There was probably about 10 of us, maybe 12 or so. And we had a blast. And, I know I waited for the rope drop. And just checked out our room. Now, we had an inside cabin with the porthole. And I guess I always missed pretty much the characters going across because I hardly ever saw them. But it was still really cool to be able to see, you know, the view without actually having a view room. And then I know we took the tour of the ship. We went on one of the tours so that we could kind of see about the ship. And the other thing that we did was we got... we were actually talking to Jillian on that. She was on the tour with us, and she's like, "Have you guys gotten your spa pass yet?" And Brian and I said, "No, we haven't. You know, we're gonna do it." She's like, "Well, you guys better hurry because there's only like 40 of them for this cruise." Now, the spa passes is basically what it is you get to go to the rainforest room, and you get the rainforest room for the entire cruise, and you get to experience that whole thing. The entire cruise. So we skedaddled over there and we ended up getting the rainforest room pass, and it was a really good deal. I think it was like $125 for the two of us for the 5 days we were on the cruise, and trust me, we used it almost every single day.
You know what, and this is a good time to point out too, because I know that Jillian and Katie and Ed and Riley made some changes when they got on, and a lot of our guests did go, but you know, typically Disney Cruise Line has all these online arrangements that you can, in theory, make your spa arrangements, make your excursion, your dining plans, blah, blah, blah. But I will tell you that soon after those are available, and they're available in tiers, like Platinum Castaway club members get to select their things earlier than the Gold or Silver Castaway Club members. So typically, soon after those become available, they're sold out, and people are worried and panicked. Yes. I didn't get Palo. Oh, my gosh. I didn't get the spa thing I want. I didn't whatever. And I'm just using these folks as a good example, but they were able to get on, make all these changes and arrangements that they wanted to make for Palo and spa arrangements and blah, 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 with no problems. And I will tell you that we had to make a change to one of our Palo reservations, encountered no difficulties in changing it whatsoever. So don't panic if you do not get what you want. Disney kind of, I don't know, that makes me worried because it kind of sets people up for disappointment, thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't get what they wanted, and they still have 75 more days until the cruise is there. So the whole time, of course, what are they worrying about? I didn't get what I want. But
right.
You will be able to change stuff. So
yeah, I mean, I thought I was going to lose out. You know, I heard there are only 40 passes, and I thought for sure, oh, those are all going to be gone by the time I get down there. And nope, it was, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon, and we hurried over there, and there were still passes. So it's always good to check.
Well, now,
yeah,
let me ask you this, Ricky, you know, before we go on to the sail away party and stuff like that, but, you know, you and Brian are just a couple, and I know Katie and Ed and, you know, Jillian and Riley were hanging out, and, you know, we had lots of couples, Jimmy and Rhonda, we had, you know, folks that didn't have kids on the sailing, Vince and Laura. So what did you think of the ship being just a couple? I mean, again, the argument always is it's Disney Cruise Line, it's for families. What did you think as a couple?
You know what? We loved it. You know, there were some areas that were a little hectic. You know, I wouldn't say kiddie necessarily. They were just hectic. The pool that everyone can use, you know, the family area, that was a little crazy. You know, so we would go into the adult area, and we would use, actually, we ended up using the hot tubs in the spa more than we used. Actually, I don't even know if we got in the pool. But, you know, we ended up taking advantage of some of those adult areas that are a little more quiet in the times that we really just wanted some peace and quiet away from, you know, all the helter-skelter of everything else. And there are those areas. You may have to search them out sometimes, but you will find them. And they're perked, you know. It really was a perfect way to cruise. You know, just the two of us, no kids. I mean, I'm so excited to do it again. And I know that Brian is excited to do it again, too. So.
Yeah, that place you guys found, I know I was up there with, I think Katie was up there at one point, Jillian, Jay. Jay, his parents, you and Brian. Like, it was up on the front of the ship toward the top. And I was just wandering around taking pictures while the family was doing something else. I'm telling you, that place was thebomb.com up there. It was quiet as anything. There was shade. They had those like little kind of couches that were shaded. Oh,
yes,
man. You know, if I didn't have a family, I might have never moved from up there. I'm just saying, because it was breezy. It was a beautiful view. I mean, it was incredible up there. And there's, like you said, if you seek those places out on the ship as a couple, you're going to find lots of little nooks and crannies that you can have. You know, it's so strange because the ship has so many people on it. Yet I took picture after picture after picture of like long corridors where you don't see another person, which is really cool.
It is cool. It's very cool. Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get to the sail away. And I want to mention the highlight of the sail away for me, besides being up there, finally, like, you know, this is happening. The ship's moving. We're going out. Nothing's going to stop us, you know, not even a bad lifeboat in a few days, you know, nothing like that. We're going to have a good time. Nothing's stopping us. We had so many friends who are up on deck 11 on the right side of the ship as you look forward. But the effort that Steve Hood and his family made to send us off at Jetty Park was
yes,
touched my heart like few things have in my life. I mean, it meant so much to me because we're sailing out of the channel there. You know, you go by Fish Lips, you go by, you know, the other cruise terminals and all that stuff. And you get to the end, and Jetty Park's the last little piece of land where a lot of the locals come out, and, you know, we'll see the ships off every Sunday or whenever the ships go out. And Steve and his family made a big old, I'm about to cry talking about it, but the big old sign says, "We love BOGP." I mean,
yes,
just gigantic. I mean, this was a dream come true to me to do a podcast cruise with so many friends. I mean, absolutely. I would have never thought this would ever happen. I joked about it. I dreamed about it. But I thought, it's one of those dreams you just have. You know, I was living a dream when this was happening. And then to see that, it was like almost, you know, threw me over the top. So that was the highlight of the sail away for me. There was lots happening there, though. So, Pam, what were your thoughts on it?
That was mine, too. I'm telling you. That blew me away that they did that. And just really was so touching. I missed their family so much on the cruise. You know, I know at one point they were going to sail with us, and I'm, you know, so sad that they didn't get to. But, you know, it's always a blast when you're with their family. And the fact that they did that was so cool. And this was also kind of the first time that a lot of us got to see each other in person. Mm-hmm. I hate to say meet each other for the first time because we all kind of know each other, even though we haven't maybe met in person. But, you know, so that was really cool, too. I loved seeing all the friendships develop throughout the cruise. I thought that was a really, really cool thing. And that this was really the start of a lot of that.
Well, you know, it kind of going along with that, it was very cool to see like the significant others that are not the huge Disney fans, you know, because usually it's like one person in the family is the person who listens to the podcast and kind of everybody else is along for the ride. You know, you're going to get to go on this awesome cruise. You know, that's how it is in my family. Like my wife doesn't even listen to the show unless she hears me, you know, down here podcasting because she happens to be cruising through. But it was great that she got to meet so many friends and everybody got along so well. The kids were all like best friends, like within a day.
Oh my God, that was so amazing,
It was so great because it wasn't just like, oh, here's the uber Disney fans and they're all hanging out. And then the significant others are just kind of all like, oh man, you know, this is kind of awkward. You know, there was, at least I didn't see it. I mean, I was trying to make sure everybody was, you know, having a good time if I could at all help it. But I saw no issues with like significant others that, you know, were the not so, you know, huge Disney fan, just like not enjoying themselves. It seemed like everybody was, and that made me feel so good. So Ricky, you know, did you see that going on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I have one of those significant others who is not as involved, you know, and I mean, he knows his stuff, but he's not quite, you know, so involved with everything. And granted, he's been able to hang out with, you know, some people at Walt Disney World when we've taken trips before, but it was really nice to get to watch him, you know, become friends with, you know, other people. And you're right. I think that the best way to explain it is we really are a family, and you can feel that. I mean, I think that the cruise was the perfect definition of how much of a family that we are, because we can all get together, and no matter whether you listen or not, you know, you're just as involved as the next person.
Absolutely. I mean, it was just so much fun. I mean, it felt like friendships we'd had our whole life, and I mean, like Pam said, many folks, this was our first time, or, you know, a couple folks meeting each other was on the ship, yet within 10 minutes, they, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we should live, you know, it's a shame we don't live in the same city, like Pam kind of let off, because you know, getting home, it's like I had so much fun just hanging out and talking with everybody. Why do we have to live geographically spread across the globe now? You know, it's like, it's such a shame, but it was awesome, you know. So we sailed away. Of course, Disney does it right. You know, they have the better horn. They play their songs on the horn as you're going out of the channel. And then I will tell you that it's hectic, though, that first
yes.
the sail away, because oh. we were on early dinner. So our dinner was, I believe, 6:15. And so, you know, the sail away was, I believe, at like 5:15. Or, you know, by the time
yeah.
you really – and if you, the ship goes very slow out of the channel. So you're not even oh, to jetty yeah. part till probably 5:45. And so all of a sudden, okay, now you got to get ready to go to your first dinner. And the first
and
dinner
you're
on
hot
a,
and sweaty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And could it have been hotter up on deck that day?
I'm saying it was hot. But I mean, you're so excited because you don't want to miss anything. You know, it's like cruises go by. That's the bad thing about a cruise. They go so fast. I mean, they are like at warp speed when you're on a cruise. Time goes so fast. But, you know, the sail away is a big deal. You don't want to miss it. You want to be up on deck and watching it. And, you know, so I was trying to watch it till we cleared Jetty Park, until we got out a little bit, because I like taking pictures of, you know, like the beach and all that stuff. And but then you just got to like warp speed, head down to your stateroom. You know, sometimes your luggage is there, sometimes it's not. Maybe some of it's there, not all of it. And I will tell you that, you know, we had an inside. We had the smallest, we booked the smallest cabin on the ship with a virtual porthole, which was extremely cool. And the characters came by at the top and the bottom of the hour, so we saw them a
oh,
few
so
times.
That's what
yeah.
it is. Okay.
It's top and the bottom of the hour, and there's always a little sound that happens before. But we enjoyed that. But I'll say that, you know, four people in that cabin was a little tight. It's 169 square feet. And I'll tell you that for a 5-night cruise, when we booked for next summer, we opted to go with a category 8, which gives us significantly more space. Now, we lose the virtual porthole. We get a real one, but it's almost the same price. That's how popular the virtual portholes have become. But, you know, would I hesitate to sail in an 11, category 11 stateroom with my family of four again? No, I'd do it again in a heartbeat. But I think next time we're going to try to go for just a little more space. We had so much luggage. If we didn't have as much, you guys saw, I think we had 11 pieces of luggage. That didn't help, you know,
gosh.
In that little bitty stateroom. It was everywhere. So, but it was fun. It was fine. It was just it was a little tight for four people, and we were gone for 3 weeks. So we had a lot going on. So,
yeah.
Let's talk quickly about staterooms before we get on to like dinners and all that stuff. So Pam, what'd you think of yours?
I will say that I'm spoiled and love a veranda, even if it's just to go out there in the morning and have coffee or spend a little bit of time out there just gazing at the ocean at night. I feel like I really appreciate that part of it. Not that I couldn't sail without it. If my choice was sail with a veranda or not sail, you know, if I couldn't afford a veranda to do something else, I would do any other category in a second. It's just that I love it.
Yes. I know what you're saying, because the thing is, once you have a veranda, it's very hard to take that step backwards, because I had to do that on our honeymoon. We had a veranda, and it was awesome because you have the view is there anytime you want it. You know, like you say, before bed, you can go out there and look, and it's gorgeous. And first thing in the morning, you can go out there, like you say, and have your coffee. But, you know, we were trying to, you know, save our money as best as we could, and we got on the ship. And so to compensate, what I did was I just went up to the top deck and walked around, which works out great. And, you know, it's going to allow us to do more, you know, more things, more cruises down the line. You know, we can't spend it all on one cruise. So it was a lot of fun. I was happy with our stateroom. So now, Ricky, you were in an inside as well. So what did you guys think? Because you only had two people.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was perfect for the two of us. You know, it was the perfect size. Yes, it's tiny. I mean, you know, it's not the biggest room you'll ever be in, but you know, it was absolutely just fine for us. And best thing that we noticed about the room, and especially because it was an inside room, is dude, that thing gets dark.
Yes, it does.
And we loved every second of it because we don't like light. So that was really the best thing is we just, you know, anytime we went to bed, it was just like complete pitch black and it was perfect. But the one thing I will say is the thing that surprised me probably the most, you know, besides, you know, the initial, oh, wow, this is our room, you know, is the bathroom. And it, yes, the bathroom is tiny. Thankfully, it's a little bigger than a airplane bathroom. Mike, you wouldn't know, but
I've heard.
But yeah, I mean, it's not the biggest thing in the world either, but it's doable. You can get around, and yeah, so that's what I noticed about it. So,
you know, it was interesting because it has a bathtub, which is very different from the cruise industry, which Mallory liked, because, you know, with a 3-year-old, she likes to take baths, so that was cool. But I'll tell you that because it had a bathtub, I'm 6'3". I was actually too tall to stand fully in the shower. I had to kind of, you know, twist my neck to fit in there. Whoops. But yeah, it was a little squash, but I mean, they're efficient and they serve a purpose, and it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And there's one thing you mentioned, I'm trying to think what it was, about it being dark. There was one morning we tried to sleep in a little bit later, and so, you know, in the inside, like you say, it is dark, so we had the virtual porthole off. So Mallory wakes up and she says, it's time to get up, it's light outside. And I'm like, you know, it's so dark. And I'm like, no, it's the middle of the night still. And she's 3 years old, and she figured out, she said, well, why isn't the porthole on? Turn on the porthole and let me see that it's still dark outside. And it was clearly like 9 o'clock. I had looked at my phone. And so we turned it on and got busted. So yeah, even a 3-year-old just busted our chops when we wanted to sleep in. So yeah, you got to watch that with that virtual porthole room. I mean, you could make it dark, but you just got to outsmart your kid, which apparently
I couldn't do.
So anyway, all right. So let's go on to maybe the dining experiences and kind of just get into, you know, all three restaurants, maybe even the Palo experience. So Pam, you know, maybe talk about our servers, because we were all three at the same table. So, yes. So thoughts on dining.
We had really good servers this time, and I will tell you that was one of my concerns. The first time I sailed on the Dream during the preview cruises, that is where I will tell you that I experienced the most challenging dining experiences on a cruise ship that I ever have. And I knew it was a preview cruise, and I was hoping that they would pull it together, and I am so, so happy to report that they absolutely did. Our servers were fantastic. They were on the ball. They kept drinks filled, and one night, remember, Ricky, you had an issue with your steak?
I did.
Our head server happened to be there, and he called the chef over.
I know, I had a chef call.
To make sure the steak was done properly. So
I just wanted a medium rare steak. I'm sorry you didn't have to send them over.
They knew it was Ricky. They're like, do you know that's Ricky out at that table? Come on.
I know, right? Yeah. And what's
called him over and was like, hey, do you have a steak?
Right. Exactly. Get the steak. Yeah.
So anyways, but, you know, and they were fun. And it was fun because we all were kind of in the same area of the dining room. You know, there were a few families kind of intermingled that weren't part of us. And I often thought, I wonder what they think. Because
exactly.
They would be yelling, you know, across the dining room to each other. But, you know, it was fun, and I liked that we were on the same rotation, and that was just really cool. We had a good dining experience, and I will say that they even tweaked Animator's palette a little bit with the show, and I liked that, too. So
now, see, I know that you say that Animator's palette, I don't know, if it's the menu you don't like, you know, it's kind of your least favorite menu. I thought that was my favorite place to eat as far as venue, and I really like the menu there, and I know we have different tastes, so that's totally cool, but I really enjoyed the reimagined Animator's palette, and I've been on the Magic and the Wonder, and it's a lot different than the other two ships. I mean, it's got the same name, but it's not really the same experience that you get on the Magic and the Wonder, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, I was singing to the, you know, our part of the dining room, and all kinds of stuff. You know, it's kind of like Turtle Talk with Crush, you know, with a fine dining experience wrapped around it, which, and there's lots of cool little touches in the decor, you know, pointing to Pixar and stuff like that. So, you know, that was my favorite. Enjoyed Royal Palace. Really liked the little touches on the table, like the bread being brought out in kind of like Cinderella's coach kind of basket. The dessert menu was an invitation. I thought that was very cool over at Royal Palace. Enchanted Garden was just beautiful. I enjoyed that as well. So my favorite would be, as a whole, would be Animator's Palette. So what do you think as far as dining, Ricky?
Okay, so I didn't get to eat at Enchanted Garden because I actually dined at Palo that night, and so I was lucky enough to dine at Palo twice during my trip, which was very, very special. As for the, so I don't have that as a frame of reference, but as for the other two between Animator's Palette and Royal Palace, I totally enjoyed Royal Palace more. I thought the food was better. I thought there was more on the menu that appealed to me. I made Paige eat French onion soup there, which she did not enjoy. But I did have her try duck as well, which she said wasn't bad. So, you know, hey, a little victory there. So, you know, I really liked the menu better at Royal Palace. There were more desserts at Royal Palace that I liked better. I actually ended up getting two that night. So, you know, I thought that that was a much better experience versus the other two. Well, the other one, you know, we ate there twice at Animator's Palette. So, and then, of course, I did Palo, which, oh, I loved Palo. So we can talk about that later.
Yeah. I mean, well, we can go ahead and get into that because we did a kind of a big meal that I went to Palo with a bunch of you guys. We had kind of like
where
a private section.
Jack Eo.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm probably the only person that, because we did go to Palo on Pirates Night, which kind of made me nervous because I wanted to do everything pirate on the ship. I've been looking forward to that forever. Like, they didn't have the pirate stuff when I sailed on the Disney Cruise Line before. So I was all excited. So I was in this quandary, like, do I dress like a pirate or do I, you know, dress like you're supposed to for Palo, you know, like a shirt tie? Yeah, exactly. So I, you know, wore the shirt, the tie, and the Captain Jack hair for those people that didn't know. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I hope I didn't offend anybody in the restaurant or ruin their experience. I mean, I apologize if I did.
But that's beside
Well, you know, my hair kept getting in my mouth when I was trying to eat all that great food. But other than that, I thought it was fine. You know, my wife just knows that's who I am. So, you know, I thought Palo again. I've raved about it. You got to do it. It's the best money you can spend because it is a little bit extra, but it's an excellent experience. You don't get that chance to go to a place like Palo that often. And I know that we're going to talk to Jay on Monday about his experience at Remy, which is, you know, taking it to the next level. So quickly, Pam, we've talked about how great Palo is, but anything you want to add from this experience?
Well, not only was Palo the dinner great, but the brunch was fantastic too. I love Palo brunch. I think it's just a really cool experience and maybe an opportunity to actually sleep in one morning because it's brunch. So then it can be like a late breakfast, early lunch. So, I mean, I love that. I just think the Palo is a great experience. And like Mike said, you know, I realize that some people may say, you know, I don't want to pay the extra money because I've already paid for the cruise. Do it. It is so worth it. Absolutely, hands down, worth it. So
it's like the cost of one 8x10 picture from the photo shoot, you know, from the place where you're going to buy your picture. So, you know, forego one picture and treat yourself for a couple of pictures. It's totally worth it. So, Ricky, your first time at Palo, your thoughts? I know you ate too much and drank milk, but other than that.
Okay, so I guess I should explain the drinking milk part first. So I only drink milk and water. So, and when you drink milk on average, at restaurants you don't usually get free refills. So on the Disney Cruise Line, I got free refills. So I enjoyed quite a bit of milk on the ship. Anyway, besides that, so I had like three or four glasses at Palo that night that we all went. But the first night that I had Palo, I got the lobster ravioli, and Brian and I also got the shrimp that they have, and then we had a margarita pizza. And then, so we ate the pre-appetizer stuff first, which they have, which is, you know, antipasto stuff, and then we had the pizza and the shrimp, and then I had my lobster ravioli. And at this point, I was already starting to get kind of full, but it's Palo. And you can't go to Palo without trying and getting the chocolate souffle. So I was like, I'm getting the chocolate souffle no matter what. So I got the chocolate souffle, ate it all. And on the way to the show that night, I started feeling not quite so well. And I guess I'd eaten a little bit too much and I was a little too full. And thankfully, I did not... I don't know what the right word is for this. Yeah. I'll just go with throw up. Thankfully, I did not throw up in the theater. Yeah,
who are you sitting next to, by the way? You were sitting right next to me. I took off running into a backstage area.
I did. I was like, I almost totally threw up all over you. And I was trying so hard because I was so full. Like, I've never been that full in my entire life. It was so good, though, that I had to eat it all. So the second time, I did it a lot better, and I didn't eat nearly as much. And my favorite thing, actually, at Palo is the scallops. Scallops for dinner were amazing. So that's my recommendation right there.
Yeah, just don't eat too much. Don't drink milk with your Palo dinner. I mean, it fills you up. And like,
during milk was delicious.
We kept cutting you off from the milk the second time when we were there as a group. We kept moving the milk further and further away, so you couldn't do that to yourself. But yeah, just it was a great meal, and it was it's a very unique, beautiful venue on the back of the ship. So make sure you check that out on any Disney cruise, because Paolo is available on all three ships, and I believe it'll be on the Fantasy as well. So don't miss out on that. So let's get into the rest of the stuff, because we are running very long here. But we got the shows we could talk about, other things that were happening. I want to mention the aqueduct, because I was really, you know, pushing that before the cruise. I didn't know, you know, is it worth waiting in line for 20 minutes? Yes, it is awesome. I mean, yes. I would have ridden that just constantly if there weren't so many other things going on. So definitely the aqueduct is a plus for the Disney Cruise Line. You know, I think that I'll be honest, as far as how beautiful the ships are, I didn't know if I liked the aqueduct from the viewing of the ships, how beautiful they are. Because you can see the pipes. There's a couple stands that aren't on the other two ships. I didn't know if it kind of took away from the beauty, but it's totally worth it for the ride. The ride is incredibly awesome. It's not scary, so if you're kind of a chicken, you're still going to love it. Just a lot of fun. And I know Micah and Kayla were trying to set the world record for the most aqueduct runs. And
they didn't get it.
They were close, though.
They were kind of close. They were close to the original and what they thought was. And then they found out that it was like 40-plus times or something like that, not 20-something. Yeah,
I give them the Be Our Guest podcast record. So they have
it. I think they have that, definitely.
Yes, so they have it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Definitely a plus. You know, as far as the Fantasy, I wish they put two aqueducts. I mean, somehow, like, maybe stack two tubes on top of each other, like one on top of the other, or intertwining, because it would cut down the wait time. And, you know, I think that you could do two tubes and it would look almost the same as one tube. I think that would be an option if Disney could work on that for me for the Fantasy. I'm just saying, because it was that cool. So that was one thing that really stood out to me. So Pam, you know, some other things that stood out that we need to mention here.
The Enchanted Art, you have to do that. The detective thingy do hunt throughout the ship. You know, Han and Paige said they did that and really liked it. We spent an afternoon, actually just Steve and I managed to get away for a little bit. And on deck four, we hung out in those beautiful wooden lounge chairs that kind of remind me of Titanic.
Yes.
And we actually went down there with the intention of just sitting and hanging out and watching. And I will tell you, I brought a book. I read about a page of it and promptly fell asleep. And it was really a fine 30 minutes or so that I spent asleep there.
Those things are awesome down there. They are unreal. They're so great.
So, you know, look for the little nooks and crannies in the Dream. I know that there are some feelings that they're harder to find on this ship than they are in the Magic and the Wonder, but they're there. We went up the last night, me and Steve and Hannah, we went up to deck 14, and I will just let y'all find that and explore it on your own. It's kind of a little scavenger hunt, but it's its own reward, because
yes,
it's really neat little place.
Not every elevator goes to 14, and no, you have a hard time finding it. Elevators in the same little corridor don't go to the...
That's right.
It's true. It is true. And there's just so much to see and do. Don't feel compelled to do it all. You know, we were lucky enough to be on the ship for the night of the Cars premiere, and we did that at midnight.
Yes.
That was so, so cool. So,
yes.
You know, just so much, so many cool things, and really happy about, you know, just being there and doing them all. I wish I could be back on the ship.
I know there was so much, you know, if you really want to drive somebody crazy, the day they get on the ship, ask them to find Vibe, which is the club for, I think, like 14-year-olds. Like, there's Edge and Vibe, but I must have spent 45 minutes looking for Vibe. Like, I found it on the little directory that they have all around the ship, and I'm like, I still can't find it. Like, you had to be, like, on the one side of the ship at the right place, and then there was a sign. But, yeah. But I like that. That's my kind of ship. Like, I like not being able to find everything right away. I don't want straightaway corridors all the time. I like encountering nooks and crannies that people don't normally come across. That's my kind of thing. So the Dream really fit that for me. And I do want to talk, you know, about Castaway Cay real quick, because we got to stay there 2 days.
Yes.
You know, double dip to Castaway Cay. That island is beautiful. There's so much to do. I will say that I was very sad that some of our friends did not get to parasail, just because the weather, it rained and stormed a little bit. You know, we all stayed out in the water. Like, I got so sunburned because I did not get out of the water the whole time. I still have raccoon eyes, I think, you know, 3 weeks later. But, you know, we just had so much fun because the thing was, like, you go out in the water. It's so calm. It's so beautiful. And when you're traveling with a group like this, we just sat out there and talked literally for, like, six or seven hours. Like, we got out of the water to go to cookies and have barbecue, which, let me tell you, was some of the best food I had in the 3 weeks I was on vacation. Cookies is awesome. But, yeah, it was incredible. I mean, Castaway Key is always incredible. We had folks that went in cabanas, and they had a great time with those. My wife had the cabana massage out there. Loved it. I mean, just, you know, you've all heard it about Castaway Key. It's beautiful. It lives up to the expectations. And we had one of the highlights, again, of the trip was that we got to have the Heads Up bar on Castaway Key, the second stop, and got to have a smoothie reception thanks to the Magic for Less Travel and Pam and everybody. And it was just incredible. You know, very hot day, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody gets together. We have smoothies. We take some pictures and just we gave away Snuggies that day. Thanks to Laurianne. So, yeah, you know, 100 degrees and we have people in Snuggies getting their picture taken in front of the ship. Kind of strange. But I look back and I have this smile on my face and in my heart because it was just such a great time. I mean, we could talk for 4 or 5 hours, but we're not going to do that. But it was just one incredible thing after the next. And we did record a podcast in Evolution that morning of the second Castaway Key stop. We're going to have that out there for you. We're trying to get it all together, so I got to do a little editing and all that. But we'll play that for everybody who was not on the cruise and for those people that were there, so you can hear yourself live on the air. So we'll have that coming up very soon. So, Ricky, kind of wrap us up with anything that we've missed. I mean, there's so much to get in and, you know, 50 minutes, but, you know, what do you still remember, you know, right off the top, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later?
I think just the majesty of a ship, you know, that it was so beautiful. It was absolutely a fantastic experience on it. I loved, like you said, finding all the little nooks and crannies. And I think that the one thing that I really took back from this is I loved cruising with friends. I don't think that I would ever cruise another way again. You know, I don't know if I could go as just Brian and me and our future kid, you know, when we have one, but which I'm not announcing anything, by the way. Yes, there's no announcement. I promise you there will be no announcement in 9 months either.
You know what, though? There was that Disney Cruise Line commercial. Do you remember that one, Pam?
Yes.
Little souvenir.
That's right. It's our little souvenir. I'm just saying.
There is no little souvenir. I can guarantee it. So. But no, so, you know, that. It was getting to be able to be with friends. And I think that was really my favorite part is just getting to hang out with everybody that I love and loving more people that, you know, I've seen on Twitter or on our message boards or, you know, something like that and really getting to know them. And, you know, that's what I really loved about the whole experience.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, sailing with a group is just incredible because you still, if you want to go out to a dinner, romantic dinner with your significant other at Apollo, you have the time to do that. You don't have to be with the group 24/7, but it's just great encountering friends here and there and everywhere on the ship, on the island, you know, when you're out on an excursion. It is just incredible, and we are going to do this again. I mean, I'm just saying that we're already looking at 2013, possibly doing a 7-nighter on the Fantasy. So just know that we are going to do this again. I know a lot of folks wanted to sail with us, maybe couldn't get in because the ship filled up so stinking fast on us. You know, that ship was so popular. But, you know, we're going to get the word out in plenty of time for everybody that wants to sail again or sail with us, you know, for the first time on the next cruise. We're going to get you squared away, you know, lowest rates, you know, get you taken care of just like we did here. And we are going to plan on doing this again in 2013. So, again, just stick with us here on the show. We'll keep you up to date. But trust me, I'm already like looking forward to the next time because this was so incredibly awesome and fun. And again, we couldn't have done this without everybody just being who they are. We have the best group of listeners. I say that all the time, and I truly mean that. I mean, because there's opportunities when you have a group this size for little things to creep up here and there. And Pam, I know you've dealt with, you know, big groups with the travel agency many times. We didn't encounter one little thing, I don't think, during this cruise at all.
Mm-mm. No, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the thing that I am constantly blown away with this group in particular, is that there's no conflicts, there's no hard feelings, there's no assumed whatever. I mean, and that happens sometimes in a big group, whether you want to or not. It just seems to happen. And like you guys, I am just absolutely blown away by, and I know we say this, but I want us to keep saying it because I really feel this way. I am blown away by the support that you all show us. And first of all, it feels very weird, and I never consider anyone in the BOGP family a BOGP fan, I always consider them a friend or a family member.
Absolutely.
Because it's too weird to consider anyone a fan of us. That would be like, I mean, it's just us getting together to, you know, friends talking Disney. That's really what it is. And we love that you all can join along, even though you don't get to be right here with us, that you're interested in what we have to say and we still interact and things like that. So love it. I'm just, you know, thinking about the friendships, the people, makes me tear up every time I think about it. It's just such an awesome community, and I'm so glad we got to see some of you. I wish we could have seen everybody,
yes.
But you know what? There's a time and a place, and it will all, you know, we'll meet in the future, I'm sure.
Absolutely. I mean, we learned so much from this cruise, you know, being my first time ever cruising with a group, and you know, first time pulling off a podcast cruise, obviously, for any of us. And, you know, I think it went pretty well. And, you know, we have bigger and better things in store for the next time. And, you know, I'm sure that we're going to have even a bigger group the next time we do this, which I'm not worried about the size. I just love the friendships. You know, I wasn't worried about that. But, you know, like when we all got together for that picture at the Heads Up Bar in Castaway Key, I mean, it was all I could do to hold back tears because so many people were just having such a great time, and it was just incredible. And I mean, it was more than I could have ever imagined. And again, it's thanks to you guys. So we are going to get out of here. Let me remind you that today's show is brought to you by touringplans.com. So when you're headed down to Walt Disney World or out to Disneyland, you need the information to get around the masses of people that are going to be out there during those busy times. And a touringplans.com premium subscription is going to help you do that. You'll have access to lines, which is newly updated, easier to use, better information. You'll have access to the 365-day crowd calendar, all that great stuff. Just check out our friends and support them over at www.touringplans.com. Don't forget that we're having our next live show this Sunday night over on Magical Mouse Radio, 8 to 10 Eastern, 7 to 9 Central. So just go over to magicalmouseradio.com on Sunday night at 8 o'clock Eastern, and we'll be there. We'll be chatting away over in the friend feed room and having a great time. So if you were on the cruise with us, please call in and share your thoughts about the cruise. You know, we're going to answer all kinds of maybe some epic October stuff. People have questions about that. We're going to just talk Disney. There's a lot of stuff happening with the refillable mug controversy. Oh, Lord, look out on that one on Sunday.
Oh, here we go. We have another controversy of the monorails.
We have plenty to talk about on Sunday night. So to save it for there, I promise we're going to talk about that. So Sunday night, 8 to 10 over on MagicalMouseRadio.com. Also, you know, we play great music on Magical Mouse Radio all the time. And one thing we're going to do, because it's been so hot here in the United States lately, we're going to have Christmas in July on the radio station. So to cool you off, here's the dates. On Wednesday, July 20th, that's the anniversary of us landing on the moon, after all, you know, for space buffs like me. But we're going to play Christmas music all day that day from Walt Disney World, and on the weekend of July 23rd and 24th. So next week on the 20th of July, we're going to play Christmas music, and on the weekend of the 23rd and 24th, Christmas in July comes to cool you off on Magical Mouse Radio just in time. You know, yeah, we've got to do something. I don't know if it'll help, but you know, people are going to, somebody will turn it on and be like, what is that playing? It's July.
Why are they playing this?
That's why we're doing it. Anyway, don't forget to check out the Be Our Guest podcast app. It's out there available for all iPhones, Android phones. You know, it's out there. You can listen to the show on the iPhone version. You can stream Magical Mouse Radio on both. You can get on the forums, Facebook, all that great stuff. So please do download that free app. Again, it's the Be Our Guest podcast trip planner app, free for all smartphones. So check that out. And don't forget to follow the show on Twitter. It's twitter.com/BeOurGuestMike, and on Facebook, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. We have lots of cruise pictures up there, lots going on in the Facebook group. So please do join in on the fun. Like us over there. We'd really, really appreciate it. So we are going to get out of here. And first of all, thank you so much for allowing us to get to episode 350. I can't believe it. It's really great that you let us do that. And just thank you so much for supporting our podcast. So we're going to get back together again on Monday. We're going to have some friends that sail with us and get their thoughts on sailing on the beautiful Disney Dream. The next Friday, we're back to talking about your great Walt Disney World topics. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike saying stay safe and have a great weekend. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.